Blog Talk Radio.
Say prepare. Michael Stanley say prepare. This is a war cry. That song never get old. We'll be able to play that song for the next 20 or 30 years until Jesus comes. Whenever he comes for us. Amen. God bless you, everybody. God bless you. It's been a while, but your brother is back. I know. I took a small hiatus. I wanted to come up with some new episodes for you. We're going to be broadcasting these episodes all across the world, making sure that people all over the globe hear these broadcasts. We've been broadcasting in places like Indonesia and Iraq and Mexico and places like Canada and parts of Europe. Listen, I am so excited. I'm so rejuvenated, recharged to get the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ out to as many people that will listen to this broadcast. And I encourage you to share the link, okay? If you're listening now live or you're listening to the recording, please share the link, because this is information that people need during these troubling times. Amen? Now, what is tonight's topic? Well, tonight's topic is one that's very controversial, but we're not going for the controversy. Okay, let me say that again. It's very controversial, but our goal is not to be controversial. Okay, it's not our goal. Our goal is not to debate. It's not to argue. It is to present information, to share content, and then your responsibility is for you to take it and pray on it and develop a closer relationship with the Lord and increase your prayer time and get into your word and seek the Lord about it. Have an open mind. I'm sure that this will be a blessing to you as well. It's not for everybody. So if you're the type of person that has a closed mind and you only believe one way, and you are satisfied and happy with the way you're believing, your life is going super great, then maybe you don't need what we have here that we're offering. But it is my hope and prayer that as many people as possible hear these messages and are blessed. Amen. So the topic tonight is, what if the rapture doesn't happen when you thought it would? What if the rapture doesn't happen when you thought it would? And in light of the recent global pandemic and the effects of this pandemic, the number of deaths, the number of individuals who have contracted the COVID-19 virus, me and my brother, Reverend Joseph Murphy, who is also my real brother, my blood brother, he is also my brother in Christ. We're going to have this conversation about the rapture briefly and about end times and in what ways Christians should be prepping for what is coming. You might say, well, brother, what are you talking about? What is coming? Well, that's what we're going to discuss, and I'm going to let my brother, he and I will discuss it, but he's going to be the primary person presenting that information of what he believes is coming and what he and some of his pastoral friends and mentors and colleagues and people who he seek counsel from, and they seek counsel from one another. You know, obviously, they have been talking, and ministers and some preachers and pastors have been talking about this pandemic and what's happening and how worse things are to come. And so that's what we're discussing. How can you prepare? And we're not just talking about from a spiritual standpoint. We're talking about also from a natural standpoint, whether it's professionally. Should you be working? Should you have a job? Should you be saving money? Should you be trying to invest in gold and silver and things other than the stock market? You know, should you be getting supplies and storing supplies up? Should you be storing water and food and blankets and candles and lanterns? Like, what is happening in our world today and what's about to happen and how should you prepare? Lawlessness is starting to take over our world. Some believe that lawlessness is going to get worse. And so how should you prepare and protect your family and protect your home? What are some of the things that you should be doing? Should we be finding another place to live, maybe someplace down south or in the countryside? Or should we be growing our own food? There's so many questions. I know that a lot of you have questions, just like I have questions. And we're going to, over the next few weeks, we're going to seek out the answers to these questions see what God's word has to say about it. And we welcome you to call in. As I said, we're not going to debate, but we welcome you to call in at 323-870-3403. Again, the number is 323-870-3403. If you have a question, comment, or even if you have a prayer request, we will definitely pray with you on that prayer request. And so without further ado, I'm going to invite my brother in. God bless you, Rev. How are you tonight?
And Brother Manny, God bless you and your family. Thanks for having me. It is always a pleasure being on with you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for being on, Rev. I appreciate you. This is a heavy topic, and I know in many Christian circles it is a highly contested debate. But that is not why we have decided to address this. We have different reasons to address it. We're definitely going to talk about the rapture, or what 2 Thessalonians described as taking away, or what is it called? How Christ is coming,
being caught up
to be caught. Well, we're going to be caught up. Yes, sir. Thank you for correcting me.
No,
we're going to definitely talk about that, but I want to talk about preparation prior to that, because no one knows when that time is going to happen. A lot of people saying, well, it's any day now, so we don't have to prepare for any of this other stuff that you say is coming. We don't have to prepare. We don't have to buy extra supplies and food and anything like that. Well, I beg to differ, because this global pandemic that has ravaged our nation, our world today, and changed the very way we do everything, has caught a lot of us off guard. And for a long time, there was no food in the stores, on the shelves. A lot of time, you couldn't get basic supplies like toilet paper and paper towel and disinfectant, you know, masks and gloves. Everything was out. And so people were suffering and still are suffering from this global pandemic. And so I just want to give you an opportunity to introduce yourself, let the people know who you are, those who don't know. I mean, you're on every day, but there may be some people listening. When I boost this on Facebook, there may be some that don't know you. So introduce yourself and kind of give us a brief opening of this topic and why it's important to you.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Manny. My name is Joseph Murphy. I'm the senior pastor of the Caring Church of Memphis, and I've been in ministry. February will be 30 years, but I've pretty much been in church all of my life. And I obviously have heard this topic come up quite a lot. Just to touch on, before we get into the piece about the rapture, the scripture, God encourages us to be, in the world, but not of the world. And so based on that fact alone, that there is stuff that we still need to be doing while we're waiting for the rapture to take place. And I have to say this, the rapture should not even be our focus, though. And that's a tool that the enemy has used to bring division among the body of Christ, because what we should be focused on is serving God to the best of our ability, because the truth of the matter is that some of us will not live until the rapture happens. And, you know, and so the rapture should not be our focus, but serving God to the best of our ability is what needs to be our focus. And as we're serving God, we won't be able to peacefully serve God in the midst of turmoil if, number one, we don't understand the moment that we're in and that we begin to prepare for that moment. And so no Christian should be just simply sitting at home waiting until the rapture happens and not trying to make sure that they are preparing for what's to come. We've seen the pandemic place the world in a place of chaos and panic, and there were canned goods that could not be found on the shelves. There was tissue paper, just a whole bunch of things that you could tell that people were in a panic. Well, if people were in a panic before, they're really going to be in a panic here comes shortly when things get to a place where they're going to be far worse than COVID-19. And I don't say that to scare anybody, to bring fear to anybody. I say that so that the body of Christ can lead the world in teaching people to, number one, give their life to Christ, but number two, be prepared to deal with people invading your home, people coming on your property, people accosting you in the streets. These are things that we must prepare for right now, not when they're happening. And there are some very practical things that each and every one of us can do outside of storing canned goods and items that we need for basic necessities within taking care of our health and everything of that nature. But there are some things that safety-wise we need to be doing to learn how to fortify our homes, learning how to make it as difficult as possible for people to come and invade our homes. Because when we get into a place of panic, and believe me, we will, people are going to turning on one another. And I mean, the Bible clearly says, mothers against daughters, fathers against sons, and then it says some against everyone. And so there will be no real loyalty outside of the body of Christ. And so therefore we must prepare, not just with prayer, not just with studying our scripture. Those things are of the utmost importance, but we must learn some very practical things that we can do to fortify our homes and to make sure that we're protecting and keeping our head on a swivel when we're out in public, starting now, because we never know when things are going to change. COVID-19 came out of nowhere and changed the world upside down. I'm telling you, there's some things that are on the horizon that's going to be worse than COVID-19.
Amen. And Rev, you are absolutely true and right on point with this, and it is something that has kind of bothered me since COVID-19 really started to affect the way we live our lives. Understand something, my brothers and sisters. We literally can't walk into a place without a mask on. I remember as a teenager and as a young adult with my friends laughing at the Asian people I would see in Chinatown or throughout the city of Chicago with a mask on. And we would say, oh, they got that Beijing, they got that Beijing, they got that, you know, that Tokyo. Or we'd say, oh, they got, we're making fun of them saying, you know, they're messing around with animals and they have all these viruses and all these diseases come from over there. And they always would, you know, wear a mask. You would see them on the train. You would see them on the bus. And I remember saying to myself, man, that must be an awful way to have to live. Everywhere you go, you have to wear a mask. And look, 20 years later, we are all dealing with the same exact thing. You can't go to a restaurant. You have to social distance. You can't. They invite you into the stores. You have to stand in line. So only a certain amount of people can be in the stores. We're experiencing sports with no fans, you know. All these things happening. Our children have to homeschool. They have to do virtual learning. It has changed the way we live our life forever.
Amen.
And there are some that are predicting. Some may call it prophesying. Maybe foreshadowing. Maybe if you just open your eyes and just use the good old-fashioned common sense God gave us, there are worse things on the horizon. We're getting ready to go into flu season, and the pandemic has not gone away, brothers and sisters. It has not gone away. And so, as being a part of the body of Christ, we're saying, a lot of us, some don't even believe in the rapture. And that's fine. I am not arguing for whether the rapture is real or not. What I'm saying is that for those who are saying, oh, yeah, worse times are coming, persecution is coming, and we're not going to be raptured out, then what is the plan? What is the strategy moving forward?
Amen.
If there's not going to be a rapture, then what is the strategy? Church leaders, pastors, teachers, prophets, bishops, apostles, what is the strategy moving forward? Because if we can't even help ourselves in the church, being born-again believers, how can we be ready to open our doors and help the people on the outside of the doors that's trying to come in seeking help?
Amen.
For those of us who believe there is a rapture coming, what if the rapture doesn't come any day now? What if we still have to endure some things? What if we have to endure some things in the meantime? How do we prepare for those things?
Amen.
Rev touched on it. Talked about home invasions. Talked about lawlessness. Do you understand that the body of Christ storing up things in their homes, supplies, food, people are going to be, they know that church folks are preparing, are going to be preparing. And when they can't find it in the store and they can't find it in their homes, where do you think people are going to try to come and find it? So these are the types of things we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks. I want to first start by addressing briefly the rapture for those who don't know what that is. Maybe you don't, you don't really go to church. Maybe you haven't really studied the Bible. I'm going to allow Rev to briefly touch on that, and we're going to go from there, and we're going to talk about some of the components in our life that we need to build up and prepare and really put a strategy in place to get ready for what is to come. We're going to talk about what is to come, what we believe is to come, and then we're going to discuss briefly those strategies or those points of topic that we think we should really keep top of mind when we're enduring this. So I'm going to first let Rev, if you can just briefly touch on what we people consider talking about being caught up or the rapture. Can you just briefly touch on that and explain that?
Sure. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, around maybe the 11th, 10th or 11th verse, Paul is having this conversation with the church in Thessalonica, and they were wondering, because the saints that died prior to Jesus' return, would that prohibit them from being with Jesus? And so Paul began this brief dissertation to inform them that no, that just because they died before Jesus' return, since they were Christians when they died, that Jesus would in fact at a predetermined time that only he knows, that Jesus would appear in the air, and that those who had already died in him would be resurrected. Now, we must be careful, because nobody's in the grave sleeping, but their remains will be resurrected and change into immortal bodies that will then meet with their souls, and they're going to first be with Jesus in the air. Then it says those that who are alive and remain, those Christians who are on earth, shall be transformed in the moment of a twinkling of an eye. In other words, these mortal bodies we have will be transformed into immortal bodies, and we shall meet Jesus in the air. And this is what he is explaining to the church of Thessalonica to encourage them to understand that, no, your loved ones who died in Christ will not miss it when Jesus returns. They won't miss it. And now it talks about being caught up. When you study that word in the Hebrew, it refers to a snatching away. And the reason that it refers to a snatching away is because it's an event that's going to happen faster than you can blink your eye. Jesus is going to appear in the sky, then going to be gone. And that is a much different event than what the event in Revelation 19 is talking about. So we know it's in a separate event. But as I said to you before, Brother Manny, it is not for the church to be so focused on this event, because people are not guaranteed to make it to the rapture. And so, therefore, we should not be more focused on is or is not a rapture. That is a tool that the devil has used to bring division in the body of Christ. And we will spend more time sitting around debating whether there's a rapture or not, versus talking about what we should be doing until Jesus returns. Now, we are in a place right now where, yes, according to scriptures, Matthew 24, it talks about perilous times. We have been in that place for a while now, but it is getting increasingly bad. And so that's why we need to be in a place where, from a personal standpoint, we all need to be praying so we can hear from God, but we all must also be studying the word so we know where we actually are in history, and we're not saying that, oh, COVID-19 is a plague that God has poured out in the book of Revelation. No, COVID-19 is not that. But we need to know that. But watch this, Brother Manny. More than having all this Bible knowledge, we are supposed to be witnessing and evangelizing to everyone we know, especially, and to even people we don't know, because guess what? That's the work that needs to be done, whether you believe in a rapture or you don't believe in a rapture, to be done. We need to be working. And I'll say this, and then I'll be done until you bring me in again. Listen, while we are storing up, and we better, if we're wise, we will store up. While we are storing up, this is not a season or a time for the body of Christ to hide. Well, these perilous times are upon us. Let me go live someplace else, or let me go shut myself in and not get all this stuff. If we listen to God, yes, we need to do spiritual things and we need to do practical things, but we need to make sure in all that we're doing that we are still serving God's people to the best of our ability. And if the rapture happens today, praise the Lord. If it doesn't happen to who knows when, we'll praise the Lord. My job is to serve God until either he calls me home or he comes and gets me. That's the bottom line, Brother Man.
Amen. And in keeping in line with that, Rev, there have been a lot of ministers, pastors, born-again believers who believe that COVID-19 was just a precursor, it was just a dress rehearsal for some of the things that are about to come upon us over the next few years. As far as the violence in the streets, as far as the violence in the streets and the, thank you, and the protesting and the looting and the setting things on fire and leading up to this election. This election is a pivotal election because if Donald Trump gets back into office, many believe he will get back into office, and things are going to get worse. And before you, some of you Christians start trying to turn the channel here and click us off because I said Donald Trump said something negative about Donald Trump. Listen to what I'm saying. Under Donald Trump's administration, under his watch, we have seen more police shootings. We've seen more protests and violence in the streets than under any other president that I can remember. Now, I'm only 40 years old, but I don't remember it being this bad. And there are some that believe it's going to get worse. Again, there had started to be stories about people having their homes invaded, robbed, burglarized, because there just wasn't a lot of supplies. People needed things. And thank goodness I didn't hear of too many deaths or violent acts committed against people in their homes. But just for this short while, when there weren't any supplies, there weren't any food items and things, you couldn't go to the store and go get vegetables. You couldn't go to the store and get canned goods. I mean, there was a real panic initially. And I think now that some things have been made available and people have been able to go out and buy things and have gone back to work and some of these restaurants have been open, they're getting ready to start shutting down the restaurants again because the weather's changing. And so people can't dine outside. The flu season is upon us. And there are those who believe that worse times are ahead. And so, Rev, I want you to talk about the conversation you had with your pastor friend and what you guys discussed and what you believe personally to be on the horizon.
So when we look at Scripture, and I thank God for how he uses different people, and you don't have to be a prophet to prophesy. God can give you dreams. God can talk to anybody, and he can use what he's talking to them in a way of prophecy. So let's get that straight. You can be a run-of-the-mill layperson. God can still use you. So the first thing that the people of God need to be making sure is that we're in a place where we can hear from God for ourselves. And then once we are in a place where we can hear God for ourselves, then when we hear our leaders, the pastors, apostles, whomever, when we hear them say a thing, then it should be just confirmation for what God had said to us in our personal time. But the problem has been for so long, Brother Manny, is that a lot of us have just been spoon-fed, and we just swallow what was taught to us, and we never bothered to go learn for ourselves. And as a result, we have a particular persuasion or bent towards certain topics such as this, what we're discussing tonight. And you can't get them back off of that because even when they go to search knowledge-wise now, it's at an advantage. It's at a disadvantage because you have a skewed view. But the reality is whenever somebody teaches something, it is our own responsibility, and God is going to hold us accountable, to go to God's word and see if it lines up. If you notice what I said earlier, I was quoting 1 Thessalonians, then I quoted Matthew 24, then I quoted Revelation 19, because I want people to know this is not what I'm saying, this is not my opinion, this is the scripture. And so the Bible tells us that there are going to be perilous times. It tells us that when the end is near, that the love of man will wax cold, where we're living in that time right now. And it's only going to get worse. And let me say this, Brother Manny, it doesn't matter who's elected. It really doesn't, because our trust should have never been in the President of the United States or any elected officials in the first place. All we were called to do was to pray for them. But our trust and our dependency needs to be in God. And let me just quickly segue and say this, Brother Manny, for one of the reasons why is this. Most black people don't even know that before we were Republicans. And then we just switched over and became Democrat. And so a lot of us go to the polls and we're just going to vote Democrat. And so the more affluent white evangelicals have always sided on the Republicans because they were against same-sex marriage and homosexuality and things of that nature and abortion. But here's what we got to understand on either side, Democrat or Republican or independent, who is the most moral? Because sin is sin. God is not for same-sex marriage. He's not for abortion. He's not for any of that. But he's also not for fornication, adultery. So we got to teach the whole Bible in a very complete sense. And because we have slowly, back in the day, if you watch the TV programming especially, we went away from wholesome TV programming to now TV has some of everything on it. So that is one of the things that teaches us and tells us, according to Scripture, that we are headed in the wrong direction. The United States, the world, in fact, but more so the United States, we have become worse than Sodom and Gomorrah, and we know how God judged Sodom and Gomorrah. And so you can best believe that whether it's another pandemic, whether it's something different, whether the economy, whether they close banks, people need to be investing in silver and gold, and just in case God leads you out of this country, silver and gold can be traded in other places. If they take the power of the dollar away, then it won't matter how much money you have in the bank. And see, Brother Manny, that's why we got to discuss these things, because that's more than just being spiritual. That's more than just talking the Bible, because while we're here, we got to survive. And I'm telling you, people's natural instinct when they don't have, if they don't have a filter of God to prevent them from doing something crazy, and I'm talking about people in your family, it won't have to be strangers. There are unsaved people in our families who will say, well, I know Brother Manny is saved, so I'm sure he's got some provisions at his house, and before you know it, your family and your relatives are breaking into your house. And so, yes. And again, there are pastors of great reputation who are all saying the same thing, that we haven't seen anything. And they're not just saying it from their own human perspective. It's laid out in the Scripture about what is to happen before great tribulation takes place. And so I'm here to tell you, Brother Manny, we need to, like I said earlier, we need to learn how to defend ourselves, whether at home or in the street. We need to learn how to just, it's more than just prayer. Yes, God keep me. Yes, God keep me. But listen, there are things that happen to Christians all the time. And it's not because God wasn't able to keep them. It's because sin is in the world. And so we still got to be able to defend ourselves. We still got to be able to protect our homes, our children, our spouses. And we got to be able to do it at a level that is proficient so that we can survive until God says it's time. So nobody should just be sitting around waiting for anything to just happen and, oh, well, if I get killed, it was just the will of God. No, God is not for premature death. He's not for that. He wants us to fight and serve until calls us home or comes and gets us. So I hope I answered your question, Brother Manny.
Amen. I mean, brother, it's something that we have to talk about. And I sometimes get frustrated when I bring this up and you hear people say, oh, all you have to do is just pray and read God's word. And so I'm like, that can't be it. That can't be all. Because there were plenty of people in the Bible, and I always say, listen, I'm no Bible scholar, and there are a lot of scriptures I probably can't locate unless I got my Google app. But I will say this. God's pattern in dealing with people under duress who were kings and great men in the Bible, women in the Bible, when they were getting ready to go to war, those men would pray and they would seek the Lord. And then they would pick up arms, they would pick up swords, and they will go do battle. They will go put in work. So my question to people is, if it happened then, why don't we think we would have to defend ourselves from our enemies today? You know, why do we think we shouldn't have to learn practical self-defense or practical strategies and a plan to be able to survive certain things? I don't understand it. And so over the next few weeks, that's what we're going to discuss. I want to be able to discuss our health. Pandemic has killed more people with pre-existing issues than people who do not have those issues. What am I saying? If you have diabetes, if you have high blood pressure, if you have heart disease, if you have cancer, if you have, you name it, if you have it, COVID-19 exacerbates the problem and you end up in the hospital with a serious illness and serious and very serious critical condition. And a lot of people are passing away. And that's what a lot of people don't know. People say, well, they are labeling it a COVID death. That's because when you go into the hospital and you can't breathe and you're having issues, a lot of it is people have contracted the COVID, the novel virus, COVID-19, coronavirus, COVID-19, whatever you want to call it. And the virus is making other things that have already gone wrong in your body. It is intensifying it. So what do we need to do to combat that? Well, then we have to find ways to strengthen our immune system and get ourselves healthier than we have been in the past. If you go to most churches, you'll find a lot of people are overweight. You'll find a lot of people. And you know, it really boggles my mind that you can find a lot of unhealthy people in church preaching on healing. And a lot of people don't understand why they're not getting healed. They're saying that, oh, God, it must be God's will that I have this sickness or disease. Well, first, let's find out if it's something that we're doing to ourselves. Maybe it's what we're eating. Maybe it's how we're living our life. Maybe it's from years and years of physical neglect to our bodies. Let's first address that. And I think that is going to be the key in fighting off these viruses to come and things that they already think that COVID-19 has mutated into something new, to new viruses. So how are we going to fight off these things? Well, the first component is we're going to have to strengthen our immune system, improve the way we eat, the way we sleep, the way we live our lives. That's number one. That's going to be a component. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the lawlessness and the chaos that's to ensue from a lot of this stuff that's going on. When people aren't able to buy their basic needs, their basic supplies, what's going to happen? As Reverend Murphy was talking about, listen, people are going to experience break-ins, people trying to come into your home. As I try to oftentimes explain to my wife, you know, when these people break into your home, they're not nice about it. They're not good. They're not good people. Okay? It's not about color. It's not about race. White man, black man, Asian man, Indian man, anybody could break into your home. They're not looking to be, you know, pleasant and say, oh, yes, I know I broke into your home, but I'm only looking for food. Thank you. I'll be right out. No. These are going to be violent people, some of them. And so how are we going to be prepared to defend our family and defend ourselves? A lot of people, well, you know, God going to protect us. We're going to be covered in the blood. Well, yeah, you may be covered in blood if you don't prepare properly. You may be covered in blood. You're right. So the other component, yeah. Rev touched on it. With the gold and the silver, a lot of people don't know that's how we used to trade currency before they started printing money, before they took all the gold away from the people and had people put all the give the government all the gold, and they stored all the gold and the silver and all the precious stones and metals and stuff. They stored all these things, and they gave you pieces of paper to say, okay, this is what you have that's inside of these buildings. This is what you have, you know, the worth of it. And that's how money was printed. If people go back and look at the history of the dollar, the American dollar, and how it was printed and distributed, you'll see they took the very thing that has all the worth away from us and gave us pieces of paper that are worthless. They're just printing numbers on them. So that's a whole nother conversation, you know, and another thing. And then, you know, lastly, we're not going to forget about the spiritual component. What types of things should we be spiritually, should we be doing, praying and getting our word? What should we be studying? How we should be evangelizing? We should be using every tool at our disposal to evangelize. And so those are the things we're going to talk about. I just wanted to come on and kind of touch on it a little bit. And from this Monday moving forward, every Monday we're going to be talking about a different component of preparation and how you should prepare. And we're going to open up the phone lines for questions to people who may be asking what should they do, how they should do it, and things of that nature. So, Rev, unless you have something else, that's pretty much all I have for tonight. I just wanted to kind of introduce it. Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
I just wanted to say real quick that we, this is a time we must walk in wisdom. A lot of what's going on in the body of Christ is a deliberate design of Satan to deceive us. And when you think about it, on both sides. And so when you think about how we were taught about the rapture, we were also taught it in such a way that we were never going to have to go through anything, that we could kind of live this nice little la-di-da life and wait on the rapture. And that was incorrect. It should have never been taught that way. And then we got to get into a place where there's wisdom being exercised from the spiritual first, and then the natural, and at the end of it all, that God is pleased with what we are doing. For those people who say that we shouldn't have firearms and things of that nature, and that prayer is enough, I simply submit this to you. David did not go out to fight Goliath and stand there and pray until Goliath dropped dead. David went out there with not only a weapon, but he went out there with 5 stones. So when it's all said and done, preparation will be the way that the body of Christ will endure what's to happen until Jesus comes.
Amen. Amen. Folks, listen. My job, well, I'm not going to say my job. Let me put it to you this way. As Reverend Murphy just said earlier, some of us may not make it to a rapture. Let's take that into consideration.
That's right.
Some of us need to be about the Father's business because we don't have that type of time.
Right
I don't
now,
know
right
what
now.
That time is for me. Tell you this. My goal, my whole purpose in life now is to do as much for God as I can. It's to do as much as I can for God while I yet can do it. And if that means I last until the rapture, until I'm caught up with the rest of the saints, then excellent. But if it doesn't happen that way, I'm still straight. I did everything I can. I squeezed every ounce of ability, every ounce of service out of this life that I could. And that should be our concentration as well. And if that's not what you're concentrating on, you're underprepared. And as they say, to underprepare or to fail to prepare is you preparing to fail. Amen. I'd like to thank
Amen.
Brother Murphy for joining me. All
God
our
bless
listeners
you.
Who listened in live and those who are going to listen later to the recording. All I'm asking, all we're asking you to do is just think about it. Go pray on it and read your word. And at the end of the day, you're going to have to make a decision for yourself on what you're going to do. But it's better to be prepared and not need it than to need it and not be prepared. Amen?
Amen.
Rev, thank you so much for joining us tonight. I really appreciate it.
God bless you.
God bless you. We will be back on. I know that Brother Tom is coming on tomorrow. Brother Nate and Brother Ronnie are coming on tomorrow. So these broadcasts are going to start coming pretty frequently every day. So tune in and look out for the link that is posted, okay? So for Reverend Murphy and myself, I'm Brother Manny. We thank God for you. May God bless you and keep you. May God go with you. Amen. God bless you, Rev.